You're listening to a podcast from 702 and Cape Talk.
Technobite with Aki Anastasio.
Technobite is brought to you by Logbox. If you're a patient or a healthcare professional of any kind, you need Logbox, the secure way to say goodbye to frustrating forms. Logbox, your medical life simplified. Hello, Aki.
Hello, Eusebius. Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm lekker. Did you have a good weekend?
I had a fantastic weekend.
Really? And what's the name?
No, just a chilled weekend. You know, you just kind of recharge,
dude,
reflect
that.
Back.
That.
Yeah, but it was very pleasant. But back to reality, listening to your show this morning, and I just think that despite what's happening, we live in such an interesting country. You know, there's never a dull moment. Put it that way,
dude. There's never a dull moment. You know, our sense of humor, the posters, people singing. I mean, it's. But I also resent the fact, you know what, that so many times in our history and so many times during troubling moments, we have to say, we get on with it, as the English say. We'll be okay, not because of the politicians, but despite them.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
Because they also benefit from that. But be that as it may, the alternative is fatalism.
Exactly. No, exactly. So, I've got some interesting things to share with you on Technobite today. And it's quite interesting to see, you know, just watching our patterns and everything. When you look at where the world is going, you know, where you've got the likes of YouTube and you've got the likes of Spotify and you've got the likes of, Google and, you know, everything today is being streamed, right? And I don't know about you. Do you use any streaming services yourself? Do you stream your music?
I do, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, and do you watch, are you connected to...
I watch
to,
on YouTube
are you
as
Netflix?
Well, but I'm
on, are
yeah,
you on Netflix?
I'm not, my partner is, okay. But definitely YouTube. I YouTube a lot.
Well, it's interesting, you know, that we've gone away from, you know, putting up a dish. Well, that's where the world is moving, to a permanent connection where everything's being streamed. Mm. And Google launched YouTube TV, which is quite interesting. Although it's only been launched in New York, Los Angeles, San Francisco, last week when they launched this, it's a $35 a month service. So imagine your DSTV coming via YouTube. They've got a specific live TV channel. And this is where it's going. You know, if you look at the likes of, Spotify and the streaming music services, and you look at the video music stream, the video services that we spoke about, like Netflix, for example, this is where the world is going. So this is quite an interesting project. Although it's only available in those US cities, you can expect YouTube TV to come to other devices around the world. And because it's driven mainly by mobile, tablets and that sort of thing, you know, streaming things to your television, your mobile, your tablet device is really going to be where the future is. And this is what the head of YouTube had to say about this new service.
Just the scale and the reach that YouTube has is really important. So if you want to reach 18 to 49-year-old viewers, the fact that we're the largest network, larger than cable, larger than broadcast, and we do that with mobile alone, is really important for an advertiser.
And, you know, that's what I find quite interesting, how massive it is, the scale of it. That in the US, for example, YouTube viewing is bigger than what people are using to watch cable TV. So you can see that as soon as it starts there, it does spread to the rest of the world. So it's not yet available in South Africa, but, in the future, you're going to be watching your football games, your rugby games.
So what is the idea here? Is it original content or is it just a portal for existing channels?
No, it's just a portable. It's just a portal. So you got the big cable guys in America that are there, the CNNs of the world, etc., that are there. But I think we're going to be living in the future where you want to watch the rugby on the weekend on TV, it'll cost you, $50. You want to watch it? Yes, you want to watch it. You don't have to be tied in to a monthly subscription fee like similar to what DSTV has. And you can see that DSTV are looking at that model. Going forward, it has to unbundle. You look at Apple TV, for example, the rights that they've signed. And even in the UK, for example, BT, they own a large portion of the rights to a lot of the English Premiership games. Mm. So in the future, they've bought those rights. You're going to be watching, like, let's say the Olympics, the next Olympics. You don't want to watch every single event. You want to watch the 100 meters final. I'm willing to pay $30 to watch that coverage for that specific day.
Sure.
I don't want to watch the whole Olympics.
Makes sense.
And that's where it's all going. And then you look at Twitter, for example, and this is an interesting one where Twitter has gone, where you look at, actually Twitter consumes quite a bit of data on your device. If you've got the app and you look at how much data Twitter uses, it uses a lot. But if you look at the smartphone connections, 3.8 billion connections as of the end of 2016 around the world, but 45% of mobile connections are still lower than the 2G networks. And this is mostly around the continent where we're still picking up on those networks. People are still moving towards 3G and LTE. So Twitter Lite is a really interesting one. But Twitter Lite is aimed at those people who are more cognizant of the amount of data that they use. It's optimized to use those lower speed connections. And it's 30% faster. It's not going to give you the same experience as your full Twitter will give you. But, you know, your timeline's there. The tweets are there. You can read the news. You can see certain media. And Twitter Lite is going to make Twitter more accessible to millions of people around the world where they have a smartphone and they're very conscious of how much data it's actually using.
Okay, what won't be there?
So, well, it's not going to be as fluid as your app, for example, and you've got to go log on to your Twitter actual app on the actual web browser. Mm. So it's going to look like something like this, if I can show you something like this on Twitter, and then you can click on Data Saver. And the data saver is just going to kind of get rid of the heavy stuff. So it's not going to give you a higher resolution photograph, for example. Okay. It might not give you the video preloaded. Mm. But it does make Twitter a lot leaner and give you the access to it without having to pay the full data bundle.
That's great. Greater reach, democratizing it.
Absolutely, absolutely. But it's a web-based version, and I'm sure they'll have an app coming out with that pretty soon.
Hmm.
And then finally, you know, we've been talking about fake news a lot, and I'm glad that Google's finally come to this as well. Google last week launched what they call Fact Checker. And what Fact Checker is as soon as you start searching for something, and I don't know about you, but whenever I read something that I think is suspicious, I always Google it. And you often find that it's somewhere there in Snopes. It's somewhere there on the internet that's been proved that it's incorrect. And you often get people, and a lot of my friends are guilty of this, as many of your friends are on Facebook. They post stuff. They post rubbish that, you know, why would you post something that doesn't sound true? Mm. So what Google has done is they've come on along with Facebook to make sure that the news that we get out there is authentic. And they've got this fact check label that they've got in Google News and basically on the Google search engine that's already fact checked certain things. So if you think that something is not true, this particular technologies that they've rolled, it's embedded into the Google search engine, has already checked that things are properly checked, and you will see that the real stories, the true stories, will appear and the rubbish won't appear. So they're basically filtering out the junk,
cool,
which is
stuff.
Good.
By the way, I'm reading a book at the moment, which I was thinking about you over the weekend while reading it.
The book.
Well, both, you know. I'm only human. Who can resist a little bit of Greek over the weekend? And it's the title of it is Irresistible, and the subtitle, The Rise of Addictive Technology in the Business of Keeping Us Hooked, by South African-born chap, Adam Alter, who I think grew up in Australia and then went to the state, San Francisco. And it's absolutely fascinating. A friend of mine gave it to me as a birthday gift just to kind of like subtweet my obsession with technology and being hooked onto my phone. I'm going to give it to you. I'd love to.
I'd love to talk about
addiction. And it's amazing. We don't take it seriously, but the behavioral addictions around technology, and maybe in one of our future shows after Easter, we can come back to it, how it mirrors substance addiction.
Oh, no, there's no doubt about it. It is as addictive as cocaine in some circumstances. Mm. And this is a problem that young people have today, you know, and this is why you've got to control the technology, because how many people, and I'm one of those big guilty people, the first thing that we do when we wake up in the morning, you open up your phone to see if you've missed anything.
Of course, you've got to do that before you kiss your loved ones.
Exactly. So maybe we'll even get that author on the show.
Absolutely.
And just do a short bit of an extended technobite and find out more about the book.
Brilliant. Thank you, Aki.